No life will be more blessed in 2023. But if we are like Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon waited for Jesus' first coming. The church today is waiting for Jesus' second coming, which will bring in indeed in consolation and comfort our words could never fathom, our thoughts could never fathom, and our words can never express. And I wish you as your pastor that this year we may be as Simeon when we come to church on Sundays and other occasions, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I wish you as pastor nothing more than that, that you would be able to take him into your arms as Simeon did, standing there in the temple, as you will see in our text this morning. We do not know how long Simeon waited for this moment in his life. The Bible gives us no clue for that. But we know he didn't wait in vain. And that's for our encouragement. If you and I come as a Simeon, you will not wait in vain. For God has promised, they that seek me with all their heart, they will find me. And Simeon stands before us as an encouragement, friends. And not only find him in the scriptures, but if we are like Simeon in the Old, maybe a Simeon in the New Testament. And listen to this wonderful promise in Hebrews 9. As Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, the word look is eagerly waiting, longing. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear for the second time. But there's a little addition there. Without sin unto salvation. May God give us that life this year, looking for him. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2 as we pursue our listening to God's word from that passage this morning and also next week, Sunday morning yet, as I like to expound this whole passage of Simeon. So we'll look at Luke chapter 2 verse 25, and this morning we'll read unto verse 32. And behold, as we saw there last Sunday, that we have a Holy Spirit indication that this is a special portion. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just or righteous and devout, pious, God-fearing, waiting as an act of faith as he longs and looks and prays and wrestles before God for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, giving us an indication that even long before Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was just as much working in the people of God in the Old Testament, of course. And it was revealed unto him somehow, we don't know how, but undoubtedly through a scripture, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So this morning, let's continue to look at Simon's celebration at Christ's birth. And I extended our points a little bit, as you notice, if you compare it to last week. But we've looked at the first one, the brilliant portrait that the Holy Spirit here gives of Simon's piety. We have looked at that and hopefully have found an echo in our own heart of this wonderful work of God in this man's life. This morning, let's look at the second, the Simon's praises about God's provision, and the third, Simeon's preaching about Christ's ministry. And then the last point we will consider next week, Lord willing. So children, we read in our scripture this morning that Simon got up one day, just like he always did. Don't know what his occupation was. We don't know if he was a carpenter or whether he was a clerk or whether he was whatever. But we know one thing, that that morning he has a special urge in his heart. Let's go to the temple. Now, it doesn't mean that he was every day in the temple. Maybe he was there very often, as much as often as he could. But if he had a working life, like most people have, it can always be possible to be in a temple. But that morning, he knows there's something Spirit is suggesting to him. Those hunches of the Spirit. You feel it in your heart, don't disobey them. You feel like I need to pray, pray. Feel like I need to read the Bible, read the Bible. Don't delay. Don't say, I'll do it later. No, then. Because it's very well the Holy Spirit has a purpose there at that moment to get you where he needs to be. Don't resist that. Don't deny it. And Simeon didn't do that either. He didn't say, oh, well, I got a lot on my agenda this morning. I don't know. Everything had to go that morning. He had to go. And so you see him walking into the temple, and that's a busy place. There's lots of people there. And it says in the scripture that the Holy Spirit brought him into the temple, and undoubtedly Simeon is expecting. See the promise fulfilled. According to verse 27, he was waiting. It came to pass, it says, that by the Spirit he was brought in the temple, and when the parents brought the child in to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon was there already. Now do not think that Joseph and Mary were necessarily the only couple walking in that day with the child. There might have been more children that morning that were born on the same day. And children, maybe you can ask your parents today to help you to read the verse 22:1-24, what had to happen to a child, and why at 40 days they had to be, as it were, redeemed. And that's what Joseph and Mary came to do. God had a right on the firstborn, and those who were not Levites, they had to be redeemed. A little offering. And so there might have been some more couples there. What was Simeon expecting? Well, he was expecting to see the Christ. But what was he expecting to see? We don't know, do we? There's nothing in there in the Bible of what he was expecting. What do you think, children? Was he expecting a baby? Or was he expecting a grown-up man? I don't know. But I know one thing. What he saw is not what he expected. How do I know that? You ask any child of God about the promise they received and how it was fulfilled. And they will all tell you. It went different than what I thought it would go. And therefore, I have no hesitation to say from this place that Simeon probably didn't expect to see what he saw. He saw a very poor couple walking in. Joseph carried two little pigeons. They were the cheapest. They cost him a penny. They didn't cost much, and they were okay for the poor people. If you were a little bit richer, then you had to buy sheep. And so he saw these poor people coming. And the mother is carrying a baby. Nothing special. Nothing unusual. There were many such like that. And so, let's remind ourselves this morning that God always goes in contrary ways to fulfill His promise, but never fails to fulfill His promise. And all of a sudden, Simeon walks up to this mother and he looks at this child. And perhaps he asked, I don't know, but he took the child in his arms and he begins to worship God. Blessed be God, he says, for this child. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And here's a baby in his arms. Thy salvation. A little baby wrapped undoubtedly simple clothing. We often forget that the gospel is not according to man. Has also something offensive in it to our personal humanity. There's something so offensive in the sense of stumbling block, you know? The Messiah, poor parents, little helpless babe. The Messiah, find him in rest, swaddling clothes, in a manger. The Messiah, you find him stripped naked, bleeding to death, on a cross. The Messiah. There's something offensive to the gospel. There's something so unexpected. And that it was for Simeon, friends, as well. And yet, as Simeon is looking on this child, he undoubtedly shared what John wrote in John 1, verse 14. And we, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Not in the outward details. Not in the swaddling clothes in a manger. Not in the arms of a poor mother. Not on the cross, naked and shameful. But in who He is. Full of glory. Full of grace. Full of truth. That's what Simeon saw. He didn't look at the outward things of this little baby. He didn't look at this humbly helpless child that he had to hold up in his own arms. But he looked beyond and he saw the glory of God. Full of grace and full of truth. And now that's the Holy Spirit, right? We see that in our text. The Holy Spirit is giving the promise. The Holy Spirit giving the prompting to go to the temple. And there the Holy Spirit opened Simeon's eyes to see beyond the offensive circumstances, as it were. The stumbling circumstances that we would think of. Because how would a Messiah come like that? And how would the Son of David come out of that? now. All that the Holy Spirit wipes away and he shows Simeon the preciousness of this child. And my beloved congregation, you make that a prayer point every time you come to church this year. That little phrase there on the wall. Make that your prayer point. There may be many things that hinder you. But ask the Holy Spirit to show you the glory of God. Through whatever stumbling messages you may have to hear. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. Point is our eyes need to be open. Otherwise, nothing of Jesus will be precious. As then, so now. What do I do with a poor child? How will my life be better with a disdained and crucified Savior? What would I do with Jesus? So was the question of Pilate. And so it really is the question, maybe, of you too. McCain writes in his well-known song, The Lord Sit Kenu, The Lord Our Righteousness, once I was a stranger to grace and to God. Though friends spoke in rapture about Christ on the tree, he was nothing to me. Maybe you're still there. Maybe you're still there. You hear the preaching of Christ and it means nothing to you. It doesn't warm your heart. It doesn't break you. It doesn't stir you. It doesn't move you. Why is that? Why is that? That's because all the other people that stood around, Mary and Joseph, and saw this old man, or young man, or Simeon, with this child in his arms, singing and praising God, they didn't see it. They didn't understand it. They didn't see what Simeon saw. And so it is you. And why is it, friends, that we see no preciousness in Jesus? Why is it that our heart doesn't throb and thrill and long and hunger to hear more of him? It's because you are blinded by the God you serve. You're blinded by the idols of the world. You're blinded by the things that we are surrounded with and pursue. The apostle Paul writes about that blindness. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, but our gospel is hid. It is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. If all you want is to be liked, if all you want is thumbs up, if all you want is lots of admirers, and all you want is to have approval, and Jesus will mean nothing to you. Because your God is yourself. And that's what you need to pray for this year. Lord, unblind my soul. And let me see, how do I become unblind? How does the Holy Spirit work, friends? But the Holy Spirit is asking you to do something too. What is that? To open your Bible. To sit before Jesus' Word. To study Jesus' glory in the Bible. And to pray as you do that. Open my eyes, Lord. Shine the light to shatter my darkness. Unblind my eyes to see what these people were willing to die for, like Paul. Let it be this year that you sit with the Word of God, as 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with an open face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord. Don't read your Bible without that prayer. Show me thy glory. Don't sit here without that prayer. Show me thy glory. Don't omit to ask him every day, show me more and more and more of thy glory, Lord. Let my whole heart be inflamed like Simeon was when he stared on this little child in his arms and he blessed thee for the salvation that thou brought in that child. And you notice that as Simeon is standing there, he begins to have a church service. He took the child up in his arms and he worships God. Why did he take that child? Why did he receive that child and took her out of Mary's arms? Why didn't he just leave that in her arms and sing the song? Because the whole picture spiritually pictures what God wants you to do with his child. I may bring him in every Sunday into this place. And woe to me if I come among you as a preacher without Jesus in my arms. And I stood before you this last year, and by the grace of God, may I stand before you every Sunday again as Mary walked in the temple with child in my arms. But it ought not to stay in my arms. It ought to come in yours. You are to take him as Simeon did. You are to receive him as Simeon did. That's the whole purpose of why I'm here, as this child in my arms, as your preacher and the ambassador of Jesus. And Simeon took the child out of Mary's arms deliberately, because by the Holy Spirit Simeon saw this baby. That is the consolation. That is my salvation. No, that's not what he said. Notice that. He didn't say, thank and bless thee, Lord, for my salvation. He said, I bless thee, O God, for thy salvation. Thine, not his. What did he see? Oh, we so often think about Jesus from our perspective. Pray God you may begin to see Jesus from God's perspective. For not only do you need Jesus, I'll say it really strangely, he needed him to come to you. This holy God for whom the angels cover themselves, found a way to come to you and to me. Thy salvation, Lord, it is thy solution. It is thy answer. It is thy provision by which thou can come to me to offer me peace and pardon, to provide me a way back to thee. Thy salvation. In this child, God has given the way, not only for himself, but for us. I've used the example before, children, of a door. A door, gives access both ways, right? Jesus is the door by which God comes to us. And Jesus is the door by which we go to God. And we meet at the door. And that's why Simeon took this child. And he knew, in this child, Lord,
we can meet with this child, Lord. I can die in peace with this child in my hands, with this child embraced by faith. I am ready. And he blessed God and worships him. The word blessing means he extolled God. He praises God for the gift of salvation. This is what he longed for. This is what he sought after. This is what he waited for. To be redeemed from this crushing burden of his guilt. To be redeemed from this separation between God and him. To be redeemed from this chasm between him, the sinful, and the infinite God. And here it is in this child Jesus. God has come, brought peace and truth together. And they there are embracing each other in this child. And friends, pray this morning that you may stand next to Simeon and that the Holy Spirit kindles in our heart that same faith by which he embraced him, by which he made that child his own. His own. But that's what this is picturing. When he took the child out of Mary's hand and he put it in his own hands, then he made that child his own. And now, Lord, let thou thy servant depart in peace. Pray that the Holy Spirit kindles in you the faith by which you embrace Jesus Christ, as I may carry him every Sunday again in your midst. Let's sing together. Psalter 450, verse 1 and 2. Behold, how good, how pleasant is the union when brethren in the Lord have sweet communion. And what follows in, I read the wrong verse. 450, verse 1 and 2. Now may thy servant, Lord, and what follows. 450.
Simeon. He not only felt in his own heart the peace and joy in believing, as we saw in the last phrases that I just said, Lord, let now thy servant go in peace. It's one of the evidences that faith is true. True faith brings peace and joy. As the apostle writes in Romans 15 verse 13, not only were his fears for death gone, he also felt there was no good reason to live any longer. For he knew, no doubt, that that moment that he had there in the temple will again be disturbed and distracted when he goes back into this life. He knew that closer and deeper and intensely more satisfying communion of God will only be when Simeon would lose Simeon. Then he knew that he would never again need to miss the joy and the peace that at that moment he felt. And that's why he's ready to die, if it was God's will. Whether that was God's will, we don't know. But Augustus' top lady said it well, Lord, it is not life to live if thy presence thou deny. Lord, if thou thy presence give, it is no longer death to die. Let me but thyself possess total sum of happiness, perfect peace. I then shall prove heaven below and heaven above. May God bless us with that this year. Such a sense of peace in the heart. And that is only, friends, when that is fulfilled. When you see his glory in the salvation that he has prepared. And guess what happens? When you see that, you become my co-worker. You become an assistant pastor. You will become an ambassador like Simeon did. And that's our second point. And I'll leave that, because I see the time is far gone, so I'll put it into next week's as well. But you notice that Simeon now begins to speak not only for himself, and the song we just sang together so wonderfully sets that out. Thou didst for all prepare this gift so great, so rare, that peoples... This is one of the only places where the Psalter is so close in translating the Bible well. For indeed, what we read in verse 31, the word people is in the plural in the Greek, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, it literally says. Simeon is an ambassador now, as well as a prophet, as we'll see next week. For he puts in a very unjewish order, a light for the Gentiles first, a light for Israel second. That's prophecy. It's also fulfilled, isn't it? Until this day. But let me rest it with that and pick up that next week. And now, yet, before we depart this morning, whether old or young, Simeon says, let me depart. We are departing. We're on our way out. We've come a year closer. We come a day closer to the moment that you and I are going to depart from this life. Who this year from our congregation will go through the exit sign of death, I don't know. God knows. But we're departing. And when we come to our final day, will we be able to depart in peace like Simeon? You should not wait for asking that question until that day comes. So we think of it now for a moment. If now today, January 1, 2023, is in God's appointment book, as the Hebrew says, it is appointed for men once to die, and hereafter the judgment. Are you ready to depart? Your luggage ready? Your passport ready? As we do that, as we go travel. What is necessary then to depart? Well, live a good life. Never cheat. Be honest in your business. Be a devout and pious person. Have an obedient life. Be humble. Is that all good for us to be part with? Are we ready then? Dear congregation, there are sadly many people that think that that's enough. I've lived a good life. I've never cheated. Gone to church all my life, every Sabbath or Sunday. Been obedient and humble and religious even. And many people think that that's enough to depart. And why do you think they think that? Because they think that because they see sin as a little problem. A little one. Of course we've all sinned sometime. Nobody has never cheated. Nobody has never lied. Nobody's never done. No sin. We've all sinned. And we see sin too little of a problem. You know why that is? Why do we see sin so small? Because I know if I ask you all personally, are you a sinner? You say, yeah, I am. I ever ask you the next question. You ever lay awake about that? You probably have to tell me. No. Never. Really. That sin is a small problem to us. Eh? It's not a small problem to God. If it was a small problem to God, He didn't need to give His own Son into the shame of the cross, do you think? That bitter and shameful death. You see, congregation, you know why we see sin as a small problem? Because we see not the great glory of God. We do not sense the blazing holiness of God enough. And therefore, sin is a little problem. Because God is not big. Sin is going to be not big either. And that's why I implore you, make that prayer your prayer. Show me, God, the glory of thine. We fail to understand the inflexible justice of God and His holiness, friends. And as sinners, we think of God as some divine servant to make our lives nicer and smoother and comfortable. And He is not that at all. And when God is small, then sin is small. And when sin is small, it doesn't make much trouble to sort out our sin. we're going to be a little good. We're going to be religious. We're going to try to be humble. We're going to try to do the right things. Oh, what fools we are. You know why we think that? Because we think God is so small that we with our pretty little heads can satisfy our own needs. Or that we can meet His standards with a little bit of religion. With a little bit being good. With a little bit being humble. That's foolish. Though such are good things, don't think that I say they're not good things to do, to be obedient and to seek God and to be holy and to pray. No, those are good things, definitely. But they are not sufficient to deal with the holy justice of God or with the blazing holiness of God or with His anger about our sin. None of that is going to do it, friends. So then what is necessary? That I be ready to depart in peace and to meet with God in peace. You need God Himself. You need someone that can stand between you and Him. And that's the one that Simeon took in his arms. That's the one. He can meet my needs and your needs, but that's not the biggest problem. He can meet the needs, if there are needs, you understand, the attributes. He can satisfy those in God. And that's why there's only one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved, friends. We need to be saved by an almighty Savior who needs to topple us from our pedestal. He needs to get our faces on the ground before Him as an humble and unholy and unworthy sinner. That would make a good start of the year, wouldn't it? If that's where we found today. With our faces before this great and holy God. And we need God for that, don't we? Yes, we do. We need an almighty Savior to undeceive us. That we begin to see that the gods of this world are deceitful. Oh, how many of us here are there scrolling out town to find some other thrill. And some other zap. And some other joy, and some other hilltop, and some other accomplishment, and some other possession. Every time, what have you found last year? It's deceitful. It doesn't deliver you from their inner emptiness. It doesn't give you the joy. It doesn't give you the peace. And you know that. You know that. And you are yet so blinded and so deceived that you are clung to the idol. Oh, beloved, I beg you, pray Jesus to smash them today out of your hands and out of your eyes and out of your mind and out of your heart. We need the Almighty Jesus to do this so that we begin to pay attention to what He comes to tell us. Every Sunday, as He pleads with you and me, pray the Almighty Jesus to pry your hands of all the rotten planks of your self-righteousness. We cling to them. We cling to rottenness. And no matter what it calls in human life, whatever is us and whatever is of us, no matter how pretty to be made, it is rotten righteousness, and it will not stand in the face of God. It will not give you an atoning sacrifice, and that is only found in Jesus. And friends, we need to pray for the Spirit of God. Enable us, Lord, to take that child out of the preacher's hand when he comes among us again, as Simeon took him out of Mary's arms. Oh, kindle within me the faith to embrace him in whom thou alone art able to be reconciled to me. So lastly, will you pray for me? Will you pray me full, fuller yet, with the glory of my Son? Will you pray for me, that I may make known to you the mystery of God, my beloved congregation, that I may share with you more out of the heart of him who sent me among you, to let you know that in the heart of God is a love that beats for you. Even though we are rebels, even though we are stubborn, even though we are proud, there is a hymn in love that seeks for your salvation. Amen. Beloved, gracious God in heaven, all praise and all glory be to thee. And all prayer is to thee also that thou would show us thy glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.